This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
That it is. Chris Carlin in for Alan today. You, of course, can get us on the ESPN app and your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline on ESPN Radio, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Goodyear Hotline, where we go right now to welcome in Jay Williams.
Man, we don't welcome him. He family. We just say, what up, Jay Weez? We don't do none of that stuff, man. We don't do none of that
I'm
stuff
just
with
trying
him.
To be cordial, man. I'm just trying to be cordial,
baby.
Jay Will.
We ate watermelon the other day, man. We ate his baby last week, man. All good.
Not his real baby. You didn't eat my real baby. Okay. You have to clarify, Bart. You have to clarify. Don't have the people out there going crazy.
Yeah.
We ate his watermelon.
We had his watermelon baby. What was his name? CD?
We didn't really give him a name, which is kind of disrespectful on our part. We should have given him a name.
Absolutely. I know Creel wanted to ask you about the game last night, man. I'm just looking at it. Have you talked to Malky? Chris, ask you a question, man. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm all over the place.
All right. Well, if you're Kim Malky, you're watching that, I mean, do you just feel like it was highway robbery, or was it just about bad officiating throughout down the stretch of that game, Jay Will?
Man, for me, man, like, I watched that whole damn game. I watched the entire thing from beginning to end because I wanted to see what Paige Beckers was all about. And I also wanted to see, you know, the Baylor Lady Bears because of my relationship with Kim. And obviously, she had Kim on our show on KJ&Z and, you know, rapping with her. I got to tell you, the whole game was poorly officiated. That was the problem with it. I couldn't figure out any kind of rhythm to the game. Sometimes they weren't calling hard fouls. Other times they were calling touch fouls. Like, there was no rhythm. I don't know how the hell, as a player, you're supposed to kind of get in sync with the game with how the refs are calling it if the refs aren't establishing a rhythm. So, look, did I think it was a foul down the stretch? Yeah, I actually got the possession before that when Kristen Williams drove to the bucket. That was a foul. That should have been an and-one. I can go back and tell you about 20 different calls that I thought were fouls that they didn't call and 20 different calls that I would never call. So, like, look, does she have a right to be mad? Yes. One thing my coach has always told me, and I've heard coaches say this all day long, it doesn't come down to one play. Bart, how many times have we heard that? I know this play sucks, but it doesn't always come down to one play. So there were also possessions where I felt like I saw Baylor turn the ball over. They were rushing. They took four shots. So, like, as a player, I hear everybody being angry about it because they catch a snapshot of the moment on social media when they're like, how do you not call that? But if you go back and watch the whole damn game, like, they were up double digits.
Now we say that, Jay Weezy, but we know the Saints had a legitimate gripe because if that foul isn't made, they walk into the end zone. And if she hits that shot, game over. Game blouses. Who want pancakes? You know, so does that come down to, like, their respect to swallowing their whistle for Geno? You know, because, you know, sometimes you officiate differently.
Because Kim gets on people hard all the time, too. Look, I think the call should have been made. But I think the problem is that the refs never established the way they were going to call the game to begin with. It was all over the place. I think Kim Mulkey has a chance. I mean, she has every right within her regard to be angry. Now, I don't know what the hell she was talking about afterwards, about the Final Four and just everybody not being tested for COVID. I don't know what that was about. But she does have a right to be angry. I'm just saying, if you watch the entire game, the whole thing was poorly officiated. The whole thing.
It was bizarre, those comments about no COVID moving forward, no COVID testing moving forward, just so we can make sure that the best players are on the court. I mean, Jay, well, what do you make of that? It is just strange to – she even had COVID here at one point.
I walked away from those comments very, very, very disappointed. We always talk about players getting media training. And when Kim Mulkey talks, people listen. They listen to what she has to say. She is a leader of young adults. And I get that she has her own POV on COVID. But at the end of the day, we've gone through all these different protocols in order to ensure everybody's safety. Now, look, people are confused with data about whether look at this whole situation happening in Florida. Our numbers going up. Like, you know, there's just all this talk about the governor and if they're depressing numbers, like, people are kind of in a disarray about what's actually going on. So just to sit up there and recklessly say, like, nobody gets COVID testing, just let them play through it. Like, no, I want to listen to the scientists that tell me what's the best way to continue to move forward with our sport. Like, let's leave it in their hands. Like, and especially the timing afterwards, man. Like, after a loss, to say that before the game, then. Like, why not say it before the game, Bart? You've been in press conferences. Say it before. Why do you say it after a loss? I don't understand the timing of it either.
Comes off bittersweet, man. I know we got to let you go, man. So we'll get your take on KJ ZZ bright and early. When we try and figure out, do you believe if anybody can beat the Zags?
Bart, don't come back. Don't come back like extra crispy now. Okay.
You think Keyshawn Black. Wait till you see me when I come back from Florida, baby. I'm going Ed Reed, Charlie Murphy, Black Darkness, everybody, everywhere.
All right, guys.
All right, brother. Jay Will. I'm just going to stay out of that. Thank you, Jay Will, from KJ and Z, as usual, bringing us Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
I wonder what the people think. And how many people actually watched the game yesterday, right? How many people are really attentive to, like, two great powerhouses going at it, right? Geno's in line for another one. Can anybody knock those guys off? Can anybody beat the Zags? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Here's the one thing about the COVID comment, Bart. I mean, as Jay eloquently put it, you know, it's disappointing to hear that. I just don't get what the point of it was. I get we all want to see the best basketball that we can.
Yeah.
It almost feels like that was just just being so tired of COVID, right?
But the fact that she had it, she should understand and be more sensitive to it. You know, usually we hear people say, oh, man, who needs this and that? And they get it. They say, listen, man, this thing is real. I went through it. It's tough, man. Like, wear your mask. Do this. The fact that she had it and she's insensitive to the data and trying to say something like that is, to me, I think is reckless. And before, when we had her on KJZ the other day, she was talking about, you know, she didn't want to make any comments until she can knock on the doors, talking about why the discrepancy between the women's weight room and the men's. So maybe she can start working on that and get to the bottom of that so we can ensure that it never happens again, that the women are being treated, the women's sports are being treated just as good, not better, but just as good as the men's sports, right? All we want is equality, and maybe she can go fight for that one, and she can talk about the other stuff later because she's going to need a distraction because it's going to make her sick if she watches UConn win a championship. So go work on the other stuff.
The no foul call really bothered me. Listen, I watched as Jay Will did, Bart. The officiating in the game was bad to begin with, and especially down the stretch of that game.
Well, quit getting the refs from Foot Locker then.
You know what? You know what else made it? I don't know how it all played in and how, you know, the officiating was. Remember, on the men's side, they lost 6 or 7 officials early because of COVID in the tournament. I don't know what was playing into the officiating last night, whether it was just not a great quality of official you had out there, but it bothered me. I'm somebody, Bart, I just want the game called the right way.
Right. And this is the thing, right? To Jay's point, right? He was saying sometimes they were calling hard fouls, or then they were letting them go. Then they were calling ticky-tack fouls. So the thing is, as an athlete, right, we all understand. We get a whole resume about, hey, these guys call this, right? We get the whole thing. They call this.
It's
they
a
call
full
that.
Scouting report. Yep.
Right. The scouting report. Thank you for the word I was looking for. So then when we get into the game, we say, yep. They're calling it tight. You know, they're right on play. So we can't get away with this. Guys, don't hug, don't tug the jerseys. Then you go with some staffs and some teams, and they say, hey, man, they're calling a lot. You know, are they letting you get away with it? Right? So then that allows us to settle into the game as athletes and figure out what we can get away with, what we can't get away with, how the game's being called, and adjust accordingly, right? Because if you give somebody two rules, if you give somebody some rules and give me the rules, I may interpret them a little bit different based on my personality, based on what I look for, based on what I call a foul, right? But the fact that, you know, they were all over the place suggests to me that maybe, just maybe, this was a staff that wasn't used to working with each other and they just put them together. A lot of times in these playoff games, these aren't staffs that have been with each other all year where they understand how to play off of each other. So the refs don't have a rhythm, just like sometimes, you know, teams that play with players as new players, they don't have a rhythm. So I would wonder if this was a staff that had worked with each other throughout the year, or was this supposed to be the best of the best, and they all have different philosophies about how they go about officiating the game.
Well, this college basketball talk is brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. Bart, nobody's beaten Gonzaga. I just don't see it on the men's side.
Go
I
blue.
Really don't. They're too good. They're too good. I think they're going to roll. And USC's been terrific in this tournament. They're going to roll tonight.
Yeah, man, listen, they seem like a team of destiny, and then we'll have to have a discussion after the fact if they're able to, you know, to see it through about where is their place in history, right? Houston, you know, looked great yesterday as Oregon State made a rally late. But you just never know, right? But the thing is, we can assume and we can say, okay, from what we've seen, it doesn't look like anybody can beat them. But we don't know. That's why they play the game, and that's what we love. Does somebody have an off night? Does somebody get injured? Like, what happens, right? Because, we didn't expect UCLA to still be there, right? And I think it's mm-hmm. going to be interesting, and Michigan seems like they've made the adjustment. So let's see. Let's see. And that's what I'm excited about, right? Because we assume that the Zags are by far the best team out there, but, man, they have to do it two more times.
I'll tell you what, credit Michigan for doing all of this without Isaiah Livers. To lose him and not have him for the tournament, and they have not lost a beat. They have been playing top of their game right now. I think both Gonzaga.
Well, coaching means. Yeah, coaching matters, right? I think that's what it tells me. It tells me that coaching matters. And Juwan Howard being able to come up with a game plan that his team can execute to take away what teams do well. And that's really where it comes. I think in collegiate sports, it comes down to being able to understand who you have and who you have in your locker room and how you have to adjust and how you're going to win. Now, the Zags have multiple ways to win, right, because they're the best team. They're talented. They've been together. It almost seems like a team of destiny. But so was that undefeated Patriots team that got beat by the Giants, right? You know, you think that you assume, but, man, sometimes styles make fights, and we don't know how these teams are going to adjust once they fill each other out or who's going to start feeling the pressure. At some point, the Zags are going to be feeling the pressure as they see that the finish line is right there. Can you take advantage of it? Can you play smart? Can you play situational basketball? Can you understand how to execute? That's what it's going to all come down to, because the cream is rising to the top and guys are starting to play above their weight class. And, man, it's going to be exciting.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get one in on this. Ray in Kentucky next on Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Ray, what's cooking, dude?
Yeah, just watched a bit of the entire second half of the women's game last night as the men's game before Oregon State came back was getting out of hand. There were coaches throwing their hands up all over the place. And to Jay's point earlier, it didn't come down to one call. It didn't come down to one call. And it's hard for me to fault a ref for not wanting his name attached to having decided the game. Now, it looked like a call on replay, but guess what? Nobody was mad about it before the replay was shown. Not one person.
Yeah, but
the announcers on television.
Yeah, but don't we want them to get it right? If it's any time to go review a foul, isn't it the right time to see if they impeded her progress? If they, you know, they looked like they were close up on her with their body. It looked like their body was, you know, on her as well, and it looked like they hit her on the wrist. So I think, you know, at that point, you do want to get that call, because you can say not one game, what play, you know, wins or loses a game. But when it's the final play or it's the right before the final play, it does, right? Because everything that you've done has gotten you to the place where you have an opportunity to win the game. And when you're taking that shot, you're down by one, have the opportunity to go up by two. I mean, I think she should have had the opportunity to go to the line, either to make it or miss it, and win it the right way. I don't think the ref, you know, is involved in if he calls a foul. I think we're sitting here talking, having the same conversation. If they do call, you know, nobody's going to be everybody. You can't please everybody, but you still want the right call to be made.
888-729-3776. More calls in just a moment. But Bart, 17-game season looks like it's going to happen. League meetings this week in the NFL. And look, we clearly, even as much as we're talking about the NFL now, and we're still a month away from the draft, and we're still a few weeks kind of removed from all of the big free agency moves, it's on everybody's mind. So adding the 17th game, I know you want the game to be safer. This is not exactly making the game safer,
Chris.
They're removing a fourth preseason game.
Yes, I mean, Chris, they're removing a fourth season pregame where half the people out there aren't going to be there anyway. They already got their bus pass.
Bart, all those folks are going to be watching this show tomorrow. I mean, they're those folks, exactly. They're going to be bagging groceries the next day after that fourth preseason game. Listen, I love having more football, but if we're talking about keeping it safer, this is not the way to go.
Right. And listen, even if they're going to take away the fourth preseason game, I still believe that they still should have the same amount of length and time in camp. You know, you're just not having a game where you can have your players in a controlled environment because, you know, for me, even that last preseason game still needs to be, for me, for the guys that's trying to make the team, right? So if you take three away, then more than likely then you need to have an extra scrimmage, right? We usually have a scrimmage, a dress rehearsal. Maybe they need to have two of those where they can kind of control the environment, make it, you know, the white team versus the
– Okay, but Bart, one question in that, right? You're going into that fourth preseason game. How many spots are left legitimately open on the team by the time you get to that point in camp?
It's usually about three, to be honest. It's usually about three, anywhere from three to six. And those are the last guys on your roster because before, you know, you're going to have roster cuts before you even get to that last game. So now you're just keeping guys on that you're thinking about. Maybe I bring them back on my practice squad. Maybe this guy's like that value pick that's going to be like that player that can be the inside linebacker and the outside linebacker. He can be my slot receiver and he can be my gunner on the punt team. So usually at that point, they already have it figured out, right? That's why they've cut people so quickly. And maybe sometimes it's maybe an argument about one or two players. But I just feel for the players that may not even get the opportunity because now you used to have like the first game, which all the young players play in because the starters only play like two series maybe. You know, the stars don't even dress for that game. And then the second game is when you get an opportunity a little bit to maybe play. But then the fourth game is the game where you get an opportunity to shine, right? Because it's equal, right? You're going against the other team's end of the roster people. But the first game is the most important because you may play depending on if you're going against a veteran team. So a team that has a young team, let's say a team that was like maybe 7-7 last year, they're going to play their starters a little bit longer than if you're going against the champs. The champs are saying, you know, we good. We already know what we got. We don't need to see anything. But then if you go against them, then now if I'm a young guy on a team that's established and they want to just let the young guys play, I get an opportunity to go against good players. Right, so they're not saying I'm going against the same players that are end of the roster. Like now, I get a series or maybe a quarter to go against another team's starters. So now they can project that, man, maybe this guy really can play because he showed up against their team's ones or their team twos, opposed to this, the threes going against the threes. That's basically like, you know, college football all over again. When you get to the fourth game, you're going against their scrubs. You're a scrub.
Okay, but I don't want to expose your own personal bias a little bit. Rookie free agent. Did you make the team because of the fourth preseason game?
I made it because of the first game and the last game because guess what? Ray Lewis is like, I ain't playing none. I'm about to go over and eat some sunflower seeds, youngster. You go have fun. Listen, so like this is a crazy state, right? My first actual preseason game, I played like 105 snaps, which should be illegal, right? That's like child abuse, but I wasn't a child. You know what I'm saying? Like, because what happens is like, you know, usually the starter is supposed to go a quarter, but Ray played one series. And it was like a three and out. So basically that took like maybe equivalent to a minute and a half off the clock. So guess what? Not only did I have to take all 70 regular snaps, I had to take all the special team snaps because I was number one on special teams for everything. So I played like 103 snaps. I was trying to figure out ways to get rest. So I would just lay on the ground every once in a while so they can blow the whistle so I can get a breather before I had to go down for punt team or kickoff return, which is like going 100%.
Yeah, I love more football. I do worry about the safety aspect of it, but I'm going to sit here and be a hypocrite if I told you that I'm all of a sudden going to boycott a 17th game.
You're going to put more prop bets out there. Like, who? That's just more gambling, right? That's more money, right? And this is how the NFL is going to get away with, you know, saying being able to pocket some of the money that they left. So they got this 17-game season. They lost a lot of money last year. That's why the salary cap dropped. So now they're going to get a 17th game where the salary cap has dropped. So that's going to be a surplus in the money of the pockets of the owners, opposed to if they would have had a game last year, then they would have moved the salary cap up so guys would have got more money. That's why you see guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, right, taking a one-year contract, not because he's a good guy and he loves being with the Steelers. He knows that next year when Ben Roethlisberger money comes off the books, guess who's going to have the most money out of all teams? It's going to be the Steelers. So basically he just punted for 1 year. He looks like a good guy for the fan base. If he has a decent season, they're going to make him a $20 million guy, opposed to a guy like Corey Davis who said, you know what, I want some job security. That's $13 million guy. So when you take his $13 million at 26, and you give Juju 18 for 1 year and you add his 8, You know what I'm saying? You're at 18-8. That's 26. They pretty much made the exact same thing. So he's basically averaged $13 million every year. And then he's going to create separation every year going forward as he gets more of the Kenny Galladay money.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN
I nerded out on you for a minute. I'm sorry. I nerded out for a second.
It's okay. No, it's okay. I can see it in your eyes when it happens, and I step out the way. That's all I'm doing at that point. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. In moments, you are not going to believe what both Kim Mulkey and Gino Auriemma had to say about the non-call last night. You are going to want to hear that right after Bart tells us about our friends at HelloFresh.
Stop eating the same old every night. Change things up with HelloFresh. They're America's number one meal kit for a reason. HelloFresh delivers simple recipes with high-quality ingredients picked at their peak for ripeness. It's also 28% cheaper than shopping at the local grocery store and 72%. I did the math cheaper than going to a restaurant. Without sacrificing quality, according to Zagat Dining Survey. Go to HelloFresh.com/BART12 and use code BART12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping for a limited time only. That's HelloFresh.com/BART12 and use code 12, BART12, for 12 free meals. When we come back, we'll hear what Gino had to say.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Yes, Bart and Hahn. ESPN Radio,
they
ESPN
know.
Plus.
They know.
Chris Carlin and for Alan today. ESPN Radio is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. It's about that time. It's about that time for audio files. Bart, impressive performance from Houston last night. Kelvin Sampson back in the Final Four for the first time in 20 years. Let's hear from the Cougars head coach.
But it's not supposed to be easy, you know, and proud of these kids, proud of the heart, proud of battling through so many things this year, whether it was injuries or transfers or a tough loss here or there. But for this team to be 28-3 and going to the Final Four, this is one of the greatest accomplishments I've been around. And I have this group of players and this staff, everyone on this staff, all the players to thank for it. I'm glad they let me go along on the ride with them. It's been a fun ride with this group.
Bart, how about this? This is a team that did not play one NCAA tournament team all season long during the regular season. And they are super tough. They have the defensive player of the year in the AAC in Dejon Giroux, and they have the offensive player of the year, total player of the year in Quentin Grimes. I don't think anybody's beaten Gonzaga, as I said, but Houston is very, very tough.
Yeah, you think about it, they're super feisty, man. Congratulations to Sampson, man. You know, he's been through a lot. I didn't even know he was down there, you know what I mean? Because I'm a casual, like I said, I parachute into college basketball. And to see him and how emotional he was means that, you know, how important it was to him. And you love those kids and the intensity in which they play with. And I listen, too often we kind of talk about how great somebody is offensively, but to watch them play defense and watch their help defense is impressive. And I think that can – listen, if you have a bad night, you have an off-shooting night, I think they can beat a Gonzaga if they have an off-shooting night because their defense and their tenacity on that side of the ball, defense wins championships. And we shall see.
Meanwhile, Baylor is headed to the Final Four as well, and this is a heck of a story for Scott, Drew, and company. Here's the head coach.
Very happy for everyone to have this opportunity to celebrate. Been to two Elite Eights before and seen Duke celebrate and then win a national championship, Kentucky celebrate, win a national championship, and it's nice that these guys were able to celebrate, especially after last year when we were on the verge of having the first number one seed in school's history and not having a chance to compete in the NCAA tournament. And as OBIM, who was on our team last year and is a GA now, said, Freddie and Devontae, a piece of that net's coming to you.
They've done a tremendous, tremendous job. And how about after all these upsets and all these low seeds, after tonight, if Gonzaga and Michigan win, Bart, you could end up with 3-1s and a 2 in the Final Four.
That's crazy, right? And to do that, who does Michigan got? UCLA?
Michigan's got UCLA tonight.
Oh, man, it'd be interesting, man. Like, you got two historical programs going. One's at 1, one's at 11. I mean, how about the others, right? How about the others? Like a team like Houston, and you think about a team like UCLA that's in the mix, man. This is amazing, impressive to see. You know, this college basketball season, didn't know if we were going to be able to make it through because we're asking college players to do what we asked the pros to do. But, man, hats off to everybody. And the fact that we're able to get to the final game of the season or the final two games of the season is impressive to me.
Not as good of a night for the Baylor women, though. Down the stretch of the game against UConn, the controversial non-call, as Dejanae Carrington had the basketball, got fouled, got hit in the face, got hit in the elbow, but no call. Kim Mulkey asked about it after the game.
What did you see when Dejanae drove the ball from where you were standing?
What did you see?
I was surprised they didn't call a foul.
Then write it like that. You don't need a quote from me. I've got steel shots and video from two angles. One kid hits her in the face, and one kid hits her on the elbow.
Ooh, yeah. Tell me why you mad, son. You got to be a professional. You got to stay composed underneath that. Like, you don't have to be like that. Oh, what do you see? Was she been watching Popovich tape? I know they both in Texas, but, man, you ain't Pop. Pop the only one to get away with that stuff, man. You're supposed to be better than that.
It can fly in San Antonio.
Losers do that, and that ain't you.
Well, you know Gino Auriemma, he's not giving anything back. Let's hear from the UConn coach.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. But I'd also like to look at all the fouls in the first half where they shot 11 free throws and we shot 2. So I don't think I'm going to go back and check all those. And I'm not going back and check on the last one. So, you know, a call is a call and you got to live with it. You know, the officials are going to make the call they think they need to make.
Yeah, something tells me that if it went the other way like that, probably not the reaction you're getting from Gino after the game. Tough call, deal with it.
But that's what you want. That's what you want to happen. Like, you want that poetic justice to happen. You want somebody to miss a call like that, like in the championship game, and he loses. Like, oh, and they pull up that Bing footage about what he said before. Ah. I hope it happens like that. You can't make this stuff up, man. Sometimes reality is, you know, reality is better than a soap opera.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Not to mention the fact, Bart, that not only did America see it, but you had an active Twitter as well. Gino's daughter tweeted that it was a foul. LeBron's
daughter
tweeted that it was a foul.
Oh, you out the will. You out the will. There's no...
Look at LeBron. Come on, man. That was a foul. He was watching the game. Of course it was a foul.
She got to learn Gino, how to sell it better.
Oh, my God. And Gino's daughter, let alone says, yeah, that was probably a foul as well. I mean, Bart, Bill Laimbeer called that a foul. Joey Crawford knew that was a foul. Come on.
You know who that is? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who Bill Laimbeer didn't foul. I'm still bitter about that one. You just peeled the scab off right there. Bill Laimbeer didn't foul Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That was a makeup call because the Bad Boys was bad. But then, listen, this ain't about the Bad Boys. It's crazy, though. Like, what you love is the fact that a guy like LeBron is engaged and people are watching the game because, you know what I mean? You know, I think that women's sports needs to be supported more, and I love the fact that big brothers are kind of commenting on the game, letting people know, hey, if you didn't see this, you missed out because this was a hell of a contest.
Well, outstanding stuff from Gino, because he never disappoints with what he's got to say. And Bron and everybody checking in. Twitter was crazy last night after that non-call. Well, still to come, I'll tell you what, a lot of NFL going on and some eye-popping things happening today. What am I talking about? Well, if you think Zach Wilson is locked in as the number two overall pick, Justin Fields is making his case right now to say that maybe he's the one who belongs going to the Jets in New York. All of that in just moments, and your chance to weigh in on it all at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Right after Bart tells us about our friends from DraftKings.
Baseball is back, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you on the field with a free shot at a share of millions of dollars in total prizes. Just pick 10 players, stay underneath the salary cap, and pile up the points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code BART to get a free shot at your share of millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's code BART, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Justin Fields? Back after this.
Bart and Han.
We should start filming our off the break calls. We should film our break calls, man. Welcome back to Bart and Han. I am Bart. He is Chris Carlin filling in for today for my main man, Han. How you feeling, big fella?
I'll tell you what. A 4-4-3, Bart. A 4-4-3, he runs. You got to be kidding me. A 4-4-3 for Justin Fields at his pro day.
So that means when he gets past you, it's like things will appear larger or smaller in the rear view. Ain't no catching the 4-4-4 when you get to the edge. All good, man. I tell you what, that's elite speed. I don't care what position you play. 4-4-4 is elite speed. And I think when you consider all the competition that Justin Fields have gone against, playing in a huge market like that, I mean, I think you have to take in consideration of that when you think about going, you know, the second overall pick or even the third overall pick or the fourth overall pick, man. I think you have to consider that, Chris. And I think that when you get to that second pick, I think the third pick, you have to consider and you have to really take into account, you know, the competition factor, the level in which the competition of who you win against. You think about Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson may have all the arm talent, but I tell you, so did Jay Cutler. We have to do some evaluation about where this guy's head at is. And I tell you, not just every player is built for New York. I mean, we've seen countless athletes come to New York. They have everything from the outside looking like they belong, and then New York squashes them like a fly. And I just don't know. I mean, these are some critical decisions because we talk about Joe Douglas and where he is in his process. He's going into year three of a six-year deal. He's hired his first overall coach. But we don't know if Joe Douglas' job and Robert Saleh's job is connected with each other. Just like Adam Gase picked Joe Douglas didn't pick Adam Gase. You think about Joe Douglas picked Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh didn't pick Joe Douglas. So we have no idea, you know, if Joe Douglas screws this up, if he's going to be able to have an opportunity to see it through, right? Now, and we give Joe Douglas a pass because he's only had one free agency. He's had one draft. This is his second draft. When you look at everything that he got last time, you know, in last draft, you can say, okay, he looks talented, like he can build a roster. But he didn't spend a lot of money on a lot of big free agents. He let a lot of the offensive linemen, you know, get picked up. Whether you want to talk about Tooney, whether you want to talk about Lindsey, you know, whether you want to talk about some of the pass rushers, Judon, Yannick Ngakoue, all the guys have gone there. But I tell you what, you hear enough from me. Let's take a call from Jack from Morristown, my hood.
Hey, what's going on, Bart? Appreciate you guys taking my call. Great show.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. Fan, I like Joe Douglas. All right, cool. I like Joe Douglas. I like the young talent he's drafted. And I like the young talent that he's brought in thus far. You know, and I hope you know, really if they trade back and get more picks and keep Sam Darnold. But if they do draft a quarterback, I hope it's Justin Fields. But, Bart, my question for you today is about the secondary. I like Marcus May. They got a young guy, cornerback, Blesson Austin. I think he's a keeper.
Don't let Chris hear that. He's a Rutgers guy. You know, so.
Yo, man, listen, man. Blesson Austin is the real deal, and he doesn't get talked about a lot, and I think that's a good thing. So my question for you, Bart, is what do you think of him, and do you think they should draft a cornerback in maybe the third or the fourth round? Thank you.
Well, you know what? You know, Richard Sherman is still out there, and I think he would be a perfect mentor to a guy like Blesson Austin, because you think Blesson Austin is a long-rangey cornerback that, you know, is physical and feisty. But in that Seattle cover three type of defense, it's about staying on top and being disciplined. So I think, you know, bringing a guy like Richard Sherman in to kind of teach some of these young guys, I think would be good. But, you know, it remains to be seen, because the Jets have so many holes that you're going to have to figure everything out. Let's go to Eric in Maine. You're up next on Bart Hine. What you got for us, big fella?
Guys, what's happening? I'm in Jersey. Mike's waiting in line. Any of you guys need a sub while I'm here?
Absolutely. Give me a BLT with oil and vinegar and a little oregano.
I'm not hating it.
Ooh, I like
I'm not
it.
Hating it.
Come on, Chris. I'm getting a tuna fish, lettuce, tomato, oil, and vinegar. That's my favorite Jersey Mike's up here. Oh, come on, Chris. That's a classic. I can't get Taylor ham, egg, and cheeses up here in Maine anymore. So at least I can get Jersey Mike's. Hey, guys, real quick, as you can see, I have a question about what Bart was speaking before about quarterbacks. But the thing that bothers me most as a fan of the 16-game schedule since 1978 is that now – those records over time are just going to be totally eclipsed with that extra game. I haven't heard anybody talk about, not you guys, just I haven't heard anybody talk about that.
Because records are made to be broken, I think we have to keep it all in perspective, because it used to be a 14-game season. So what about those records, right? We understand that. We just have to make sure that we notate that and say, hey, you know, that, you know, it's a one extra game. And then you start getting into the minutia of, like, how many plays, how many snaps. You know, how many games did it take you to get there? Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll make the adjustment.
And I think the other thing, too, is, like, you're going to be talking about a league that has completely changed in becoming a passing league anyway. So,
right.
Like, all of those numbers have been blown out of the water anyway. So, to me, listen, I get people get wrapped up in numbers, right? People get wrapped up in records. But that's not something that's going to really enter my thinking when I'm thinking as to why they should or shouldn't do it. I think more football is always better. There's no doubt, though, that the health is always going to be a big-time concern. Now, if you missed any portion of the show today, you can always find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. It's always good. And I will be back with you. What's going on? Always enjoying it, brother.
Always a pleasure, man. And we'll set them all up for the We'll Holla.
Max Kellerman is next. ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.